Hell House, LLC. Haunted houses, meaning an attraction designed to simulate a haunted location or otherwise scare attendees, have been around for decades now, with one of the first being opened up in 1915 in England. Over the years, they've developed with the times, many of them continuing to push boundaries as what exactly scares certain people continues to evolve. There have been a few horror films about haunted houses, including The Houses October Built and Haunt, but Hell House LLC from 2015 takes a look at a small group of friends that purchase an abandoned hotel in a small town in order to turn it into an exciting new haunted house attraction. As it turns out, of course, they might not have to do a whole lot to make the place terrifying. Let's take a look. The film opens with text informing us that this is a documentary on the mysterious events surrounding the 2009 Halloween haunted house tour tragedy. The documentarian, Diane Graves, investigates the boarded-up Abaddon Hotel where the tragedy occurred, interspersed with interviews with various witnesses, journalists, and experts, none of whom precisely know what exactly happened that night. News footage from that night explains that it was opening night for a haunted house at the fixed-up hotel in the small town of Abaddon, New York. Not even the witnesses that managed to make it out of the hotel are really sure what was happening, and so far, none of the staff members of the company running it have been found. We're then shown a video that was taken by one of the tour-goers, showing them standing in a long line before finally being let in. While initially the tour looks to be standard haunted house fare, they do notice a couple of the performers seemingly fleeing from something out of the building. As they start to head into the basement, however, they find the stairwell choked with people, who start yelling at them to back up. They hear panicked screaming, and a stampede of people flood out of the building. It's very unclear what exactly everyone is running from, and of course, even the people running aren't sure. In the end, 15 people were killed, and more were injured in the process. Afterwards, a 911 call from during the event leaked, in which a woman exclaims that she doesn't want to die, and there's something in the wall. The cause of the incident was blamed on a severe malfunction, although what exactly malfunctioned isn't clear, and the police aren't saying much. Later, a journalist manages to break into the boarded-up hotel and takes a number of photographs, showing blood stains in numerous places, debunking one theory that it was a gas leak. The journalist made his way to the basement door, finding it blown off its hinges, and he admits that he snapped a few pictures of the stairwell, but refused to go downstairs. Years after the event, one of the members of the Hell House LLC staff, Sarah Havel, reaches out to Diane Graves and agrees to an interview. She has not been heard from since the tragedy, stating that she's just been staying with family in the meantime. She says that if people really knew what went on in that house, it would have been hard for them to deal with. When asked what all happened there, Sarah pulls out a bag filled with videotapes, which she says contains everything they filmed. Diane asks why she didn't give them to the police, but Sarah just says that she'll see. The footage recorded by the Hell House crew starts on August 23rd, around a month and a half before the tragedy. The crew consists of Alex, the head of the company, his girlfriend Sarah, and his friends Mac, Paul, and Tony. Alex and Mac continually fight over Alex's decision to move their annual haunted house attraction from New York City to the small town of Abaddon. They arrive at the hotel to find it in disrepair and filled with refuse, with not even the electricity running. Alex is optimistic and excited about the possibilities with the hotel, despite everyone's misgivings. While wandering around, the footage shows a very quick glimpse of a robed figure standing in a corner, not noticed by the crew. In the basement, they find a number of Bibles, as well as a pentagram on a wall, but none of them are really bothered by it besides Sarah, with Alex stating that half of their work in making a haunted house is already done for them. It takes the group about a week to get the electricity running again, at which point they decide to start sleeping at the Abaddon. Footage shows the group reminiscing about past haunts over drinks, and Alex gives a speech in which he states that he knows that this was a hasty decision, but they have to keep Hell House fresh, and he knows that this is going to work out. Paul asks if he thinks they're going to get the same numbers here as in New York, and Alex is optimistic about it, although Sarah says that at least in New York, they didn't have to sleep at their haunted house. Later, Tony gets cameras up and running around the building, although he notes that he can't seem to get anything running in the basement. Since the plan is to have a female actor down there, they decide to hire a big guy to play a clown in the same room as potential protection. Paul continues to film everything, apparently on Alex's orders, and it's clear that he's known among the group for being both lazy and lascivious. One night, Paul is filming himself in bed, talking to the camera, as a figure enters the room from behind him. He eventually notices them, realizing that it's Sarah, who silently turns and leaves. Paul just assumes she's sleepwalking and comments that that's weird before going to bed. The next day, Alex and Mac meet with a few of the local actors who are going to be participating, including Melissa, the girl that will be in the basement, and Joey, the big guy that will be playing the clown. A journalist mentions that he did manage to speak with one of the police officers on the scene the night of the incident, who told him that the first body they came across was one of the Hell House members. Their throat had been slit, and they were pretty sure that it had been self-inflicted. The journalist also mentions the sad case of Joey, who actually made it out of the hotel alive, but refused to talk about what he saw. He hanged himself 9 days later in his bedroom. Later, Alex is talking to Melissa, who's nervous about the job, when Paul walks in, filming them. He makes some crude jokes, but Alex assures her that she has an important role, but she'll be perfectly safe with Joey right nearby her. Paul mentions a ghost, leading Melissa to say that they have heard the rumors then. Alex tries to shut the conversation down, but Paul asks what she means, leading her to say that supposedly the former owner hung himself in here, and things continue to happen to the guests here, so they shut the place down. She doesn't know much about local history though, and Alex just dismisses all of it as rumors and stories. The journalist assumes that the Hell House crew knew nothing about the history of the Abaddon Hotel, its rumors, and the past of its owner, Andrew Tully. An expert says that the local story is that Tully built the hotel there because Abaddon, in some versions of the Bible, is the name of the demon that guards the gateway to hell. Some say that Tully was the head of some cult, further exacerbated by the various disappearances, starting with a young girl and her mother. Tully was questioned, but was able to produce records showing their departure, clearing him of any wrongdoing. Despite this, business suffered, and he hanged himself a few months later. The group inspects some of the clown dummies they'll be putting in the basement, noting that the head of one of them won't move, so it has to face straight ahead. That night, the crew all wake up after hearing a strange sound in the building, akin to a scream, but none are interested in investigating it. They continue to patch up the hotel and fill it with various decorations and attractions, and on one occasion, Paul wanders around the building looking for Tony. He suddenly sees the clown dummy that can't move its head, standing in a hallway facing the stairs leading down. When Paul moves the camera away and looks back, the dummy is now looking directly at him. Paul just assumes that it's Tony playing a prank on him, and he wanders off, finding Tony a few moments later. In a panic, he rushes back to the hallway, finding the dummy no longer there, but now back in the basement where it was before. Paul forces the group to watch the footage he recorded, with Alex and Mac just assuming that both Paul and Tony are playing a prank on them. On September 26th, with 11 days until opening night, Paul and Tony show off one of the attractions, a hallway with a strobe light and various decorations, including a couple of dummies. As the lights strobe, Paul sees several more dummies standing in the hallway, causing him to panic and try to get out of the room, though the door is locked. He eventually makes it out, vomiting from the fear, and he shows the group the footage he shot. Paul is adamant that something bad is going on here and thinks that they should leave, but Alex is solely focused on the business and just tells him to keep it together. Paul storms off, and although Tony agrees that things have been getting worse, Alex refuses to accept it. Later, in the middle of the night, Paul gets up suddenly and grabs the camera, showing the clown standing at the bottom of the stairs to the group's rooms. Mac also wakes up, angrily inspecting the clown and finding it to just be a dummy, swearing at Paul. The two begin moving the clown into one of the rooms, but they find Sarah standing and facing a wall in the darkness, mumbling something in a foreign language. When Mac eventually moves up and touches her shoulder, she whips around in a panic, unsure of where she is or what she was doing. When the group turns around, they see that the clown is no longer where they left it, and they hesitantly look around for it. While doing so, a grandfather clock suddenly chimes, and they look in to see that the dining room is now fully set up for service. They flee in a panic, now finding the clown standing in a hallway, but they rush past it back to their rooms. Despite all this, the group continues working, and with 3 days to go before opening, Paul records another segment for the camera at night. He says that he believes they have no business being here, but Alex is more confident than ever. He says that Sarah doesn't look good, whereas she usually does. He shuts the camera off and goes to bed, but wakes up to a screeching noise. He grabs his camera and notices an unknown girl sitting nearby. He hides under his covers as the girl seems to get up and approach him, and eventually he takes another look. The girl screeches and Paul screams as the camera goes out. The following day, the rest of the group angrily remarks on not being able to find Paul. Mac just assumes that he got up and ditched them for whatever reason, as he's done it before, but Tony isn't so sure. When they decide to try calling his phone, they only hear a sudden, loud-pitched screeching sound, with none of them sure what to make of it. That night, the three get up upon hearing a piano playing, and assuming that it must be Paul, they investigate. Upon approaching the piano, however, they find only a dummy seated at it, before hearing some yelling and thumping sounds nearby. Mac and Tony continue to search for Paul, heading into the basement, and while looking, Tony sees all of the clown dummies looking directly at him. The two huddle in a room, with Tony panicking, but Mac assures him that he doesn't believe in ghosts, so the two head back out, finding the dummies facing straight ahead again. Mac just assumes that it's Paul messing with them, and soon after, they find Paul sitting against a wall, and Mac angrily yells at him. Paul doesn't say anything, however, and although Mac just storms off, Tony is thoroughly freaked out. Meeting with Alex later, Tony insists that they need to shut everything down, as there's something clearly wrong with this place. Alex still dismisses his claims, and Mac sides with Alex, as they've been friends since childhood. Tony swears and says that he's quitting, and although Alex just says to let him go, Mac follows him out. Tony continues to swear at him for not siding with him despite what they witnessed, but Mac tells him that he doesn't have all the facts. Mac shuts off the camera and tells him something, which causes Tony to calm down and agree that he can't leave, although he's not happy about it. Based on the dialogue and other clues, it's presumed that Hell House is practically bankrupt and needs this event to be a success in order to stay afloat. Although Tony is just an employee, it's clear that there is a bond of friendship and loyalty here, so he's willing to stick through it. Diane asks Sarah if there were any malfunctioning gear or props that could have caused the accident, but she says no. When asked if Alex was fit to run the event, she says that he was the same as always, and he rallied the actors and Mac and Tony. Diane then asks her why she didn't just leave, to which she says that Alex wasn't going to leave, so she couldn't. On opening day, while talking to the crew, Alex seems a bit distracted, losing his train of thought. Melissa asks where Paul is, as she hasn't seen him around in the last few days, but Alex just says that he's fine, he's under the weather, and they can run the show fine without him. Later, the crew gets into their positions, with Melissa chained up in the basement and Joey in a clown costume nearby. The crowd is gathering outside. Paul is still sleeping in his bed, and the crew starts experiencing some technical issues with their equipment. The first guests start going through the building, seemingly to good reactions, but Sarah rushes up to Mac, saying that she just saw Paul, as Joey rushes out of the basement. The crew starts hearing screaming, more so than expected, and they can't tell what's going on in the basement due to not having cameras down there. Footage recovered from a tour-goer in the basement shows a robed figure standing by Melissa, who is yelling at the crowd that this isn't part of the show, as Joey runs off. The footage becomes garbled as more robed figures appear, approaching Melissa, causing the crowd to panic. Some of the guests are also attacked, as a stampede occurs to try and get up the steps as others are still trying to go down, leading to the mass chaos. Mac leads some of the guests out before the exit door slams shut, trapping the remaining guests and crew inside. More unknown figures are seen throughout the building as Mac runs through, and as he approaches the basement door, he hears Melissa screaming and a robed figure approaching Tony before the door also slams shut. Mac meets up with Sarah, and the two run up to the attic of the building, where they find Alex struggling and hanging from a rope. When Mac rushes to help, he turns and sees multiple robed figures behind him, who quickly swarm him. Sarah says that she went back downstairs to the front door, where the police were entering, and she was just happy to be alive. Diane asks if anything happened to her from the attic to the front door, but Sarah says no, and she was simply rushed out by the police. Diane then asks how this was all kept from the public for so long, but Sarah says that she's feeling really tired and wants to take a break. The interview ends, and Sarah says that if they give her a couple hours, they can come find her in her room, 2C. Before she leaves, she tells Diane that she should really get inside the hotel if she can, to see what's inside. This leads to a discussion between Diane and her crew about breaking into the building, with Diane quite interested in doing so. She ends up heading to the hotel with her cameraman, while another crew member goes over the footage they got from Sarah. Before she leaves, Diane checks in with the front desk about Sarah, finding out that their hotel doesn't have a 2C, and there's no Sarah Havel staying here. As the crew member goes over the last bit of footage, he sees a recording taken after Mac got killed, in which Sarah picks up the camera and slowly goes back down through the hotel. Near the exit, she runs into Paul, initially hugging him before he silently takes her camera and repeatedly bludgeons her with it. As she's laying there, covered in blood, she hears something growling nearby before she's dragged off screen. Paul then wordlessly stands there, picking up a shard of glass, and slits his throat. Meanwhile, Diane and her cameraman arrive at the Abaddon Hotel and begin combing through the interior. It's just as it was left the night of the tragedy, and despite Diane's enthusiasm, her cameraman refuses to go down into the basement. She gets a phone call from the crew member that was watching the footage, but she ignores it, excited to keep searching the hotel. When they go upstairs, they find a room labeled 2C. And although her cameraman tells her not to go in, Diane opens the door, finding Sarah seated on the bed. Diane asks her if she's okay, and when Sarah turns, they see that her face is pale and covered in blood, just as the door to the room slams shut. They then turn to see multiple robed figures in the room, who quickly rush the two. With no information gleaned from any of the sequels, the original Hell House LLC leaves us with very little information to go off of, and is effective because of it. There's various clues that the owner of the hotel was involved with a satanic cult, but the film is largely just a creepy, found footage experience utilizing some effective scares. Sure, the ending is a bit weak, but most found footage horror movies end with someone screaming before being attacked and dropping the camera. By and large, Hell House has enough good scares and likable characters to work, which is why it's gotten three sequels and a fourth one on the way. Of course, none of them have been as good as the original, but that's often how these things go. Hell House LLC's ultra-low budget proves once again that you don't need a lot of money, well-known talent, or spectacular special effects to make a highly enjoyable film.